Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 8th of June, Anno Domini 2013. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we're going to be at 5 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose. Nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Amazon is planning a major rollout of an online grocery business that has been quietly developing for years, targeting one of the largest retail sectors, yet to be upended by e-commerce. While food is a low-margin business, Amazon could outperform similar online grocery services by delivering orders for higher-margin items like electronics at the same time. I'll have a computer and some toast.
Quarter bread and a loaf of milk.
Exactly. And one of the people familiar... What?
Yeah, so, and toilet paper and an audio cable. Yeah. and a book to read. And
one of the people familiar with Amazon Fresh expansion plan says the new warehouse will have refrigerated areas for food, but also space nearby to store up to 1 million general merchandise products in some cases. The company's been testing Amazon Fresh in its hometown of Seattle for at least 5 years, delivering fresh produce such as eggs, strawberries, and meat with its own fleet of trucks.
Yeah, I was going to say eggs. That's got to be a good one.
Yep. Amazon is now planning to expand its grocery business outside of Seattle for the first time, starting with Los Angeles as early as this week and the San Francisco Bay Area later this year. If these locations go well, the company may launch Amazon Fresh in 20 other urban areas in 2014, including some outside the United States. Amazon is searching for new large markets to enter as the company tries to maintain a growth rate that has fueled a 220% surge in its shares over the past 5 years. The grocery business in the United States, which generated $586 billion with a B dollars in retail sales last year, may be a ripe target. Amazon's expansion plans are a potential threat to grocery chains as well as general merchandise retailers, Walmart and Target, which also sell a lot of groceries. A successful foray into groceries could also help underwrite the development of a broad-based delivery service employing Amazon trucks to deliver directly to homes, which could have implications for UPS, FedEx, and other package delivery companies that currently ship Amazon goods. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is would you buy groceries from Amazon? And the choices are, absolutely, I'll never leave my house again. Sure, if the prices are right, I'll give it a shot. And seriously, no, just no. And so far, we have no idea how many votes. Oh, 35. 35 votes. And of course, knowing the curmudgeons that listen to this show, the number one choice so far is seriously no, just
yeah, really.
No. It is an interesting.
I want to see how they do the eggs.
Well, they have their own trucks. It's not they're not sending them through UPS.
Right, but still in all, trusting the truck driver. I mean, seriously, scrambled eggs.
Yeah. People used to ship fresh eggs to your door along with milk. The milkman, the eggman.
Yeah. I can remember. Well. My uncle used to have Enright Dairy, and I mean, yeah, they used to deliver milk and, like you say, butter and that type of stuff,
and
the eggs, but he always had it in a separate area on the truck. I remember that. And it was almost like on these springs.
Yeah. And the big thing, really, it's really twofold. Amazon certainly is hoping to make money selling groceries, but also it's about that fleet of trucks.
If
they can if they can stop paying UPS and FedEx and those other companies to ship their stuff, they save even more money.
Yeah, but with that though, on the other side of the coin, yeah, you've got your fleet of trucks, and granted, it's advertising for you, but then you also have the maintenance, the gas, and everything else,
and the pay for the drivers and the loaders.
Here's the other thing that they could do. I mean, why not get UPS trucks, but then also do some shrink wrap on the side of the UPS trucks with the Google logo, sort of do a partnership,
Amazon.
Yeah. And do a partnership.
That would make a lot more sense.
And then that way, you know, both sides are happy. They're getting like a whole, UPS would be getting a whole new fleet of trucks, still got their logo on the brown trucks, but Amazon's logos are just shrink wrapped on
APS, the Amazon Parcel Service. Yeah. Or Fedazon.
Or the one that they said UPS and Federal Express were going to merge and just call it Fed Up.
Yeah.
Several of the local Wegmans were trying online groceries a few years ago, and you would order it online and then drive up to the store, and they would pack your car. Everything would be picked off the shelves and waiting for you.
Yeah.
And that that didn't catch on.
Well, they've tried that in a number. Well, back in the day, I can remember the 50s.
The grocery boy would bring it to your house.
Yeah, but no, on Dewey Avenue, right near Northgate, there used to be a drive-through that you could get milk, eggs, I think, like dairy products.
Now there's a Wegmans there.
Although no, this is on the other side of the street. This is on the other side of the street from, because my uncle used to work there, and you'd drive through, and you could call ahead and have your order, and they'd have the milk and everything else, and all, it's dairy products. It was all dairy products, and you'd drive through, and they'd say, oh, yeah, and they had it in a cart, like a milk cart, you know, the big crate.
Yep.
There you go, and you come back the next time, and they'd fill it up again.
Yep, I remember that. They would take out the old crate, put in the filled crate, and off you go, and they'd get their crate back.
Is that aging us?
No, everything is aging.
Well, it's just like we were talking again, how things old comes new again. I can remember right there at Kodak Park, right there on Lake Avenue near Eastman Ave, there used to be a Ball Diamond.
Where was this?
On East Lake Avenue near Eastman Avenue.
Yep.
Okay. Right there, there used to be a ballpark. That's where I played KPA baseball. They tore it down. Put a building in. Now it's torn down and it's back to grassland again. And talking about building a, you know, baseball park again.
Right, right. It's like, not the neighborhood it used to be, though. So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, back in the day, I mean.
Well, yeah, then there was Silver Stadium and Hollander Stadium and all the stadiums that used to be here.
Well, Hollander Stadium, I remember over there by Aquinas, we used to go over there and watch all the drum and bugle competition.
Yeah, some that beautiful was a stuff great back in the day.
Now what is there? Is it industrial park?
Yeah, some thing? Sort of. Yeah, it's some sort of nothing.
What's really crazy is you drive by it for 20 years and it's this thing and then suddenly it's gone and you can't remember what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've been driven by that for 20 years. What used to be there?
Or it's changed hands so many times you can't remember all the names.
Yeah.
Right. 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 All right, to the phones. Our first caller, hey, it's our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's up?
Hi. God, you guys are reminiscing really good today because I'm 66 and I remember all that stuff.
Yep.
We're older than grass.
But you're still growing.
Exactly. Out, but we're growing.
Okay. Hey. Got one quick question and one. Okay. My friend's got a phone. She's having a gone in to be repaired, and she's got a new phone. She's got a lot of stuff on Google Play Store, the All Access Music for $7.99 a month.
Yeah.
Now, will if she gets a new phone, all she has to do is, will it still be there on her new phone?
Yeah, because it's not actually on her phone. It's in the cloud. If it's a Google phone.
Yeah, it's an Android phone.
Yeah, if it's an Android phone, she signs in with the same username and password.
Uh-huh.
And all of the same stuff will be available. No question, no problem.
Oh, okay. Okay, now my question. I have an LG phone, LG Android phone.
Right.
It's got 2 gigs of internal memory. Normally, with my old phone that had Gingerbread on it, I was able to bring my apps to the SD card. Now, I called LG. Because of 4.0 and up, you're no longer able to do that. That's what she told me. True.
I don't know what it is you can't do. You can't. Are you saying?
Because when I had Gingerbread, I was able to take some of the apps I wanted and put it on the SD card, so my internal memory wasn't quite as full.
Right.
Now, from what I've been told, 4.0, it's got Jelly Bean on it.
Right.
I on my phone with the new update, there is no longer any option to move to art. So I called LG. And she says, with 4.0 and later, they eliminated that. And she's right. I can't find any words on my phone where I could take my apps or whatever I want and move it to the SD card. She said get a third-party application.
Yeah, I'm seeing a few instruction sheets on how to do that, and they all seem quite complicated.
I know. That's what I, you know, so I thought I'd call you guys. Is this true with 4.0 and later that they've eliminated that?
It may not be true of Android, but it may be true of LG.
No. This lady told me, I don't know if she's full of air, she told me that's for every Android phone 4.0 and later. Now, you guys have Android phones, right?
Yeah, I have a 4.0 phone right now, and you're right. I don't see any option.
Yeah.
To put stuff on the SD card. That's very weird.
Yeah, I know.
One set of instructions I found, you have to do it with a computer using the Android SDK.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I can't do it with my AT&T because it's got the one card in there, the memory card in there. I can put apps and that on it. And I can, you know, move. If I hook it up to my computer, I can, it'll access that card and I can pull, you know, documents and all that type of stuff off of it. But yeah, like you say, no, it can't.
Yeah, I thought I'd call you guys.
No, it does appear to be correct.
Okay, guys, what story can we make up?
Yeah, I know, we have to make up something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because this lady was just trying to get me. So I thought, well, I'm going to call the guys and see if their phones are the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, as I said, my LG phone is acting up. So I'm getting a new... Okay, one more question and then I'll get out of there. I am getting the Samsung Galaxy S2. What do you think of it? It's got 16 gigs of internal memory. What do you think of that phone?
Isn't the 4 coming out too? That's a little bit bigger tablet.
Yeah, and there's the 3 and then the 4 is coming out. Yeah, but the 2 drops in price.
There's nothing at all wrong with the 2. Nothing.
Okay.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice little phone, actually.
Yeah, it's got a 16 gig internal memory, which is what I liked.
Right, and I guess if you're going to get 4.0, you better have a lot of internal memory.
Well, a lot of the phones, so you can put a micro SD card in.
Yeah, but she's
only
saying,
for data, apparently, not for apps.
Yeah, you can transfer. Yeah. The lady told me you could transfer photos and files, but you cannot transfer apps you could with Gingerbread.
Well, then that's okay. Well, at least you're moving the if you got any songs or pictures or that other stuff, move that over to the SD card, freeing up more on the phone. You'll be surprised with 16 gig how much...
Her existing phone is only 2 gigs, so that's what she's running into. Right. In fact, my 16 gig iPad, I'm always fighting for space because, that app looks neat, download. Yeah. Ooh, that app looks neat, download. And then suddenly it's full again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's why I'm getting, as I said, I'm getting a new Galaxy S2, it's got 16 gigs of internal memory.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should be fine for quite a while.
Yeah,
that's why some of the iPads...
It's a good phone.
That'll be good for a couple weeks, and then you fill that up and you can...
Yeah, right.
Oh, no. I haven't even come close to filling up the 2 gigs yet. So, but I don't put a lot of stuff on there, but I wanted to put some of the Google Music on my SD card.
Right.
So I have it ready for me, but they kept saying, well, your memory's running out. Your memory's running out. I went, oh, geez. You know how to pin it? Have you guys tried that All Access yet?
Haven't yet, no.
Oh, I got something for everybody that's listening out there. If you go into Google All Access and you get it before June 30th, it'll cost you $7.99. After June 30th, it'll cost you $10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, Linda. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, guess what? Sony Music has signed on to Apple's forthcoming iRadio service. The deal means that Apple now has agreements with all three major music labels. Apple had been pushing music executives to come on board in advance of its annual developer conference next week, so you should expect to hear an official announcement Monday. The company has also signed up Sony ATV, which is Sony's music publishing arm. But the gaps between Sony ATV and Apple were supposedly smaller than the ones between Sony Music and Apple that we were looking at a few days ago. Apple has previously signed on Warner Music Group and Universal Music Group, the other two major labels, so now they've got them all. In any case, Apple isn't expected to actually launch iRadio at its WWDC event. Instead, it expects to tell developers about the forthcoming service, which should function like an enhanced version of Pandora. That is, it will be a free streaming music service that gives users more control of their songs than standard web radio, but less than full on-demand services like Spotify. It probably also won't run on anything except an iDevice. Apple has been trying to launch iRadio, or whatever they're going to call it. We've all been calling it iRadio, but who knows, since last fall, but has been haggling with music owners over payments. Its most recent dispute with Sony was focused on songs that radio listeners skipped. Sony wanted to get paid for any of its songs that Apple served up to listeners, even if they didn't end up hearing the whole recording. But the music industry in general has been receptive to the iRadio concept. The industry may have bottomed out from its Napster-induced fall, but it's still very eager for any new forms of digital revenue. Apple is also in the middle of a trial where it has been alleged that they have been involved in a conspiracy to fix ebook pricing. So, have you been waiting breathlessly for iRadio? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, that did seem to be an interesting piddly point. You know, how much of a song does the user have to listen to before it has to be paid for? 1 second? 10 seconds? And that was one of the reasons the previews in the iTunes store, previews used to be 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Of a four-minute song, and it's never the right 30 seconds. Right. Now most songs
you need 30 seconds of intro, and you haven't actually heard the song.
Now most of the songs give you a 90-second preview.
Right.
But I can imagine that was licensing, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing 30 seconds of it? All right, 30 seconds of a three-minute song? You know, we want a royalty for that.
Yep.
Yeah, but... It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Well, it's not that they wanted the royalty. They wanted the full royalty.
Yeah. No, well, still not. I mean, for folks to just sit there and just say, all right, yeah, you're going to buy that song without listening to it? No. You got to give them something.
Well, it used to be, yeah, you'd hear the song on the radio and then go and buy the album.
Yeah.
Well, but you would go and buy the album for one, two, or three songs. There'd be like 15 of them. And I don't know about anybody else, but I often stopped playing after the first three or four songs because the rest of them were crap. So I had stopped.
Well, that's why 45s were great.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But nowadays, everything is going to the internet, so you can go and grab the songs. And a lot of the artists, you know, are well known. And to hear them, you got to be able to go on there and at least, especially if there's a whole album. I love the idea that on an album, I can go through and pick the songs that I like because inevitably on all, you know, CDs.
There's at least one crap song. Usually
one.
Seven.
Yeah. Yeah, they throw in their key song and then bam.
Yeah.
You know, the rest are, I can do without.
That's the whole idea behind mixtapes. Right, you got the songs you really liked. You made a tape of the songs you really liked. And people are doing that now. They're just buying individual songs. But what that really means is they aren't selling as many albums, which is where you make your money.
Right. Well, this one artist, in fact, I've heard him a number of times. I just heard him last week out in Medina. His name is Chris Wilson. And he's a local guy. But, you know, put him up there and... You got to go out and hear him, but it's nice to be able to go up to the store and listen to the rest of his tunes. And that one, I got to admit, I got two of his CDs, I think, now, and there's not a bad song on it. He's just a good artist. And
but that's so rare.
But it is. That's what I mean. That's what I was going to say. It is so rare because most of the time, I'm going to listen to a CD. Well, another one, Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah.
There's a number
of
tunes.
Yeah, but
no, but don't on that one. Here, he's a famous guy.
Yeah.
And there's three tunes on his latest CD. I go, I could do without those three.
Yep. Yep. And when you get a pop album, there's one song that's on the charts, and everything else is just,
especially the engineered groups where you get a bunch of people together and the producer makes the album.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the one hit, the one hot song, and that's the end of them. But when you see the local guys, you know, playing bar gigs every weekend, you know, they're making money selling their CDs direct.
Yeah.
And you know, the hope was always we'll get a big record deal and make a ton of money. And that hope is sort of, you know, fading away these days. You look at somebody like Jonathan Colton, who's been real big on internet radio. Not internet radio, but internet music. And he's supporting himself with his own label, basically. And a lot of the big name stars are now moving away from a label.
Well, and that's the other thing that scares the labels.
Yep.
If I don't need you, then what do you bring to the table? I have a friend who is an author who has self-published his last book because he just didn't like the way the publisher was doing things. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked to him. I hope it's selling gangbusters. But the point is, he doesn't need them to get a book in front of the public anymore.
Yeah,
so if they aren't going to treat it right, he can do it on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen some of the internet podcasters, Scott Sigler, Jesse Hutchins, who I always remarked it went back to the early days of radio. So every week they would release a chapter of their book that they'd read to you. And he built this huge following on the internet, and that got them a book deal to make physical books.
Right.
The annoying thing is that they're publishing the books that I've already heard.
Yeah, right.
It's the books that they've already released on the internet are now coming out in print, and but there's slight differences because they edit them differently and whatnot. So it's interesting to see how a lot of these book publishers.
Well, and that goes back to Conan Doyle, for example.
Yeah.
Published all the Sherlock Holmes stories in the Strand magazine, and even the books were published as a series of chapters in Strand magazine. But of course, if you didn't buy all the magazines, or you didn't want to wait 2 years to get the whole story, whatever, yeah, then you could buy the book.
And I've been hearing a lot of podcasts talking about that with cord cutters and Netflix and Hulu doing original shows.
Mm-hmm.
Should they release the whole series at once? Or should they wait a week between each episode, like the traditional TV model?
Right.
And some people are saying, well, yeah, because you don't want people to be able to watch ahead, because when you're talking around the water cooler tomorrow. But it's the same thing when you buy a book. You know, the hot new bestseller book, people read at different rates. And so, oh, did you get to the part where? Oh, not yet. Okay, then I won't talk about that. And that's the same sort of thing. So there's
Except
people that
for
like...
you. You talk about every friggin' thing that's happened, whether I want to hear it or not, because I haven't seen the movie or read the book yet.
You know, sorry.
He died at the end.
You know, two books that are usually in every house are no longer probably used most of the time.
What? Dictionary?
No.
Encyclopedia?
No.
Bible?
White pages and yellow pages.
Oh, yeah.
Several.
How many folks actually pick up the white pages or yellow pages? If they got their phone, they could, I can look this up and even get directions to it.
Yep. I've even read that several phone companies have tried to petition the FCC to stop printing phone books because no one wants them, and it's a huge cost.
Yeah, it is a huge cost, and I don't, you know.
Yeah, but it's a big market moneymaker for them.
If I still had a bird, I would need the yellow pages, but I don't.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's true. Go to fish.
Yeah, I mean, there's two books that, you know, have faded. I mean, I've got some, and it's like, I don't use them. It's easier to just go to my phone or quick look it up on the computer.
There's a million apps. Where's the nearest whatever?
Yeah.
I don't need the books anymore.
One of the things I've noticed over the years is that they're transitioning. There's more and more coupons in the yellow pages, and restaurant menus are actually printed in there as well.
I can get that on the web?
Yeah. But the reservations on the web. They at least have been noticing that things are changing and trying to
right.
Well, here's the other thing,
customers,
which is nice too with the phone. You can sit there and look it up, and if you're always looking up the yellow pages, sorry, I gotta get the number, and then I sit there and dial. With it on the phone, I can look it up and then sit. yeah, hit that button and it dials it automatically for me. And I'm talking to him, not looking up, have to punch it all in. I just select it and away I go.
And because our phones are with us all the time,
yeah,
it used to be you had to go to the phone to make a call. Mm-hmm. So where did you keep the yellow and white pages?
Right
next to the phone. Now the phone is with you. So the yellow pages are not something you, hold on, let me go in the other room, get the yellow pages, look this up. And no, I'll just look it up on my phone and do it right from there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the problem. All right, back to the phones, which you're probably either sitting at or have stuck to your ear. Our next caller is Tim from Irondequoit. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. I've got Vista with Service Pack 1, and so I was trying to upgrade to a newer version of Internet Explorer. So when I try to get SP2, then it just gives me an analysis of Windows 7 and says okay to go ahead. I was just curious why I can't get SP2, and should I get 7?
Well, because Windows Vista was discontinued when Windows 7 came out.
Vista was right up there along with Windows ME and Windows 8.
Yeah, nobody liked it. Hardly anyone used it. Everyone waited for 7. But if you ended up getting a computer with it on it, Microsoft's idea was that you should have been upgrading all along. And Windows 7 support was discontinued when Windows Vista support was discontinued.
Yeah.
Now, it may be possible to dig around deep somewhere and find the S. Because it's only hard drive space. There's no reason to remove it.
Right.
But it's,
except that if they don't remove it, you won't upgrade. And they don't make money if you don't upgrade.
But if he goes to Windows 7, that would be a better deal.
Yeah, so
but if you're looking for a newer browser, try Chrome or Firefox. Don't bother with IE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you download Chrome or Firefox, when you set it up, don't just keep hitting OK. Read the screens, because one of them will say, do you want to move all of your bookmarks and stuff from Internet Explorer? Make sure you say yes.
Okay.
So that you get all in, and then when it's done set up, you'll see a couple of new things, but you'll also see all the stuff you already had. So it's just like you were there, only it runs better.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a better idea then. So I mean, I've never had problems with Vista. I don't use it a lot, but
right. And I did. Nobody did.
Yeah.
It looks like I did find the link from Microsoft to manually download Vista Service Pack 2. So I'll post that in our.
But on the other part of that, of course, is that Vista is no longer being fully supported by Microsoft.
No security updates.
You would be better off moving to Windows 7 anyway.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's what it said. It said it's all right to go ahead. But I just want to check with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
Bye bye.
That's always the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We get something and there's two things. We're complacent.
Very much
so. And we know it well. And I guess there's a third thing, because no one expects Spanish Inquisition, which is that if the upgrade goes badly, you suddenly don't have a computer anymore.
I was meeting with a customer this week.
Big time.
Yeah. I was meeting with a customer this week, and one of their issues were updates that keep popping up and annoying them. Because they're working and an update notice pops up. Well, should we install that? Yes, is the short answer. And they said, well, there's one guy that's having trouble with Excel, probably because he didn't load an update that was needed. So updates will fix problems. That's usually what they're updating it for, to fix a problem.
Right. Well, I do understand this. I mean, I upgrade my Linux box at work and at home fairly regularly. But just recently, when 12.10 came out, I went to upgrade my work machine, and the power went out in the building.
That'll kill it.
I got a UPS, but the power was out longer than the UPS lasted.
Oops.
So the upgrade failed, and I had to reformat the hard drive, reinstall from scratch. Luckily, all my data were on another drive.
I say, do you do ghost images? So you just...
I just have all of my data
on
a separate drive.
Actually, no, I meant the programs and everything else, so you can put the image back?
It takes an hour to reinstall the operating system. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then, you don't have any legacy issues of things that were there before and might be a problem. So now I'm reluctant to upgrade my home machine just because of that.
Operating system upgrades are one thing. And that's a pretty major thing.
But it is.
Usually application updates.
I'm still upgrading the applications, but it keeps coming up and saying, 1304 is out.
Yep.
You've got 1210. And I keep going, no, I can't I can't bring after the trauma of my home machine going down.
You break, I've seen it. I've seen you break out in sweat when I'm sitting there working on the machine.
Yeah. I don't like that.
And he's not even doing the work. I'm just doing the work.
I'm the one sweating.
He was sweating bad.
Apple just released 10.8.4 this week. Everyone's expecting to see 10.9 at the developer conference next week and wondering what the next cat's going to be. Some of the posters have been going up at Moscone Center, and there's one with a bunch of, with waves and an X Roman numeral 10 on it. So everyone's saying, is it going to be sea lion? But that's not really a cat, but it is lion, mountain lion, sea lion. That sort of makes sense.
Sure. And then I'm lion and you're lion.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, so you still have plenty of time to call in this hour. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And, this is kind of fun. Shipments of Android smartphones are expected to climb to more than 1 billion units. That's billion with a B annually in 2017, more than twice the 470 million Android phones that shipped last year. But which I don't know why they bothered to put that in there. Why I bothered to repeat it, because what shipped last year and what will ship in 4 years, never mind. Market research firm Canalys on Tuesday issued a new report containing its smartphone forecast for the next 5 years. Android is clearly the big winner, and its 1 billion units shipped in 2017 will be good for 67.1% of the 1.5 billion smartphones that sell into channels globally. That figure is down slightly from the 67.7% of the market. That is to say, it's down 0.6. But the narrow loss in market share, unfortunately, won't benefit top rival Apple. According to Canalys, Apple's share of the global smartphone market will drop from 19.5% in 2012 to 14.1% in 2017, representing somewhere over 200 million smartphones. Meanwhile, Microsoft's smartphone market share will balloon to 12.7% in 2017, up from just 2.4% in 2012. BlackBerry is predicted to see its share slide to 4.6% from 4.8% last year, but that figure would be music to BlackBerry's ears. A 4.6% share of the smartphone market in 2017 would represent nearly 70 million smartphones. The price of smartphones has fallen dramatically over the past few years. This has helped increase penetration. But so far, the problem with low-cost smartphones has been that the user experience has been compromised to hit lower price points. But the situation will change over the next few years as component prices continue to fall. Vendors will be able to deliver greater experiences on smartphones with lower price points, which means that in many markets, feature phones will become extinct. The smartphone market will grow at a compound annual growth rate of 18%. While mobile phone shipments will decline by a compound annual growth rate of over 9% in the same period. So mobile phones are not the smartphones. They're the dumb phones.
Right.
Growth in the smartphone market will continue to be driven by Android. In 2012, over 470 million Android-based smartphones shipped. And by 2017, this number will have more than doubled to over 1 billion, giving the platform that 67.1% market share. Over the same period, it is forecast that Apple shipments will continue to grow as well, but at a slower rate than the total smartphone market, and hence its market share will fall from 19.5% in 2012 to 14.1% in 2017. That, like I said, that doesn't mean that their market share is shrinking, because the market itself is growing.
It's
just
shifting.
Growing slower.
It's shifting.
Right. Apple's growth will be curtailed by the fact that momentum in smartphone markets is coming from the low end, and Apple is absent from that segment. Android's continued dominance is due to the scalability of the platform. So, what's your ideal smartphone? We know Linda's, but what's yours? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I know you have your smartphone.
Oh, I can't wait. In less than a month, I'm going to go to the Max, the Verizon Maximum X that has 32 hours of talk time and 27 days. That's days of standby.
Not that you ever stand by your phone. You're always on it.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I just
don't care if it's zero standby because you don't stand by.
No, I just I use it for. Matter of fact, I just got busted. You know how we were talking about not using the Yellow Pages. I was talking to my girlfriend before and saying, "Yeah, you know, she's listening, saying that we don't use the Yellow Pages." And I'm asking her if she's got the Yellow Pages because we need them because I want to rip the pages out because we got to do some shopping around, and it's easier to have the pages right there to go looking around because when I'm mobile, the tablet, there's no internet unless I want to tether it to my phone, and I could do that, but. It's easier if you just got the pages
right
there.
Throw it all in Google Keep, make it work offline, and you're done.
Yeah, there's another one.
Or Google Docs, and make it work offline. Easy enough to do.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I got busted. But, I definitely have to have that phone because right now, that was the other thing. My phone has been acting up.
Yeah.
It's a little over 2 years. So, you call the company up and they, we can't really work on those. You know, we don't have the parts. But guess what? They look at my phone number. We can get you into a new nice phone. I go, no.
Yeah.
No. I'll put up with it. I got less than 30 days.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Verizon, which I was with back in the day when they had the big cube.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
That was my first phone with the big antenna and all that. Walked around with that.
Yep.
And I was like,
you really looked like a dork then.
Oh, walking around with this huge... But
guess where I'm calling from. That's where I'm calling from. Yeah.
That was, in fact, the very first cell phone call.
Yeah.
The people invented the cell phone. The guy walked out in the street and called his rival at another company and said, guess where I'm calling from.
Yeah.
Well, I wound up getting mine back at the old Soho show, which was a computer show.
Janine gave me mine, absolutely.
And that was, and that's when I got the brick. And I thought, oh, this is cool. And I made calls from there. Hey, I got finally got a phone. Huge thing. You couldn't put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Forget it.
My friend Emily has the Galaxy S4. Is that the 5-inch one? The big
one? Yes,
the
that's
the
one my daughter wants to get.
Well, I'll tell you what. These old eyes, that big screen means something.
And the camera. The camera is unbelievable. The camera's
unbelievable as well. Yeah.
I mean, the cameras are getting so good on the phones, folks are wondering, you know, why even bother?
Right. If you're a professional photographer, you really want to have a professional camera.
Right.
But 99.9% of us are not.
And then to be able to, quick send it to somebody.
Right.
Boom. It's there. Or upload it to you.
That was Philippe Kahn, who invented the camera phone.
Yep.
Because he was trying to take pictures and send them. There must be a way to take a picture with my camera and send it on my phone.
Right. And he went the way of putting a camera on the phone as opposed to putting a phone on the camera.
Yeah.
All right, back to our phones, with or without cameras. Our next caller is Steve from Greece. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Who came in?
I do use the term loosely.
Yeah.
About a month and a half ago, my white box, the solid-state drive, decided to go on a walkabout.
Yeah.
With working with another guy, we took it out. We ended up having to format it, and I've reinstalled Windows 7 Ultimate on it. I've almost got it back to where it was.
Yeah.
But the taskbar icons, I had them so they were visible. They were dark. They weren't these little, and I have gone... I can't figure out how I did that. I've turned off Arial. I've done internet search. I've run Power Toys. I don't know how to make my taskbar icons so you know, they're basically white on a gray background. So you can't read them. And I had them set on my laptop. They're set up so they're opaque, they're dark. You can see the printing. Can you tell me how to do that? I know it's done because I did it before and it's on my laptop, but...
Well, is it the taskbar icons or is it the color of the taskbar?
Well, the taskbar itself is gray, but it's the icons. The icons are gray with white text on them, and you just can't...
So if you were to change the taskbar color to black, the icons would show up, right?
I don't know.
Theoretically, yeah, that's under personalize.
Yeah,
right. And what I'm saying is, for a quick solution, that would work. As for the other, I don't know why they're...
There's a size anchor.
Well, I mean, part of it is the aerial snap or light, you know, screen stuff, but I've turned all of that off. I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
At least not on my desktop. So is that... I forgot where it is.
Well, okay. If what you're looking to do is actually change the color of the apps themselves, what you do is, I think you have to do that individually. Right click on it and select properties. I think. I don't have a...
If you right click on them... No, I'm not talking... I'm talking more about the ones that are launched. The ones on the left, the ones that actually, yes, I understand what you're saying. The taskbar icons to launch the programs, but when they're launched, they are a tab across the bottom of the taskbar.
Oh, and that's a gray bar.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah. What you have to do is in your properties for your whole system... what you need to do is start mucking about with the colors of those things.
You can change the individual icons.
Yeah, but he's actually talking about the little bar at the across the bottom where all your apps are essentially buttons.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think they pin them there.
Yeah.
No, that's the other side.
So I think this link I just found on how to change the icon. So, you know, the examples they show, they change the icons into something different.
The most frustrating part is I had it like that. It's like that on my, like I want on my desktop, and I can't recall at all how I did it.
They're changing the icon resource.
Yeah. But if it's the bar across the middle of the bottom, where things are not just icons, but also have the name next to them.
Yes.
Yeah. What you need to do is to go into the properties for your system and actually change the color of the text and the color. You can change the color of the background. You can do all of that stuff, but you need to do it and play around with it, which my suggestion then is to write down what it was, make your change, look at it. If it makes you unhappy, go back in into the same place and change it back right away before you forget.
So are you going through control panel?
Yes. Yes, display. There's a whole set of properties for various colors and backgrounds and everything else. And among that is the actual color scheme.
Well, which, what are we talking now? Like not administrative tools or...
No, it's just, it's...
Personalize is the command.
Yeah, it's personalize, and I think you can get it right from the... If you right-click on the desktop, no?
Yeah.
Right, I see personalization.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of things you can change in there. You can change the background. You can change the colors of the window header at the top there where the text is. You can also change the color... of the text. You can change the color of the background. The other thing I would suggest is right click on that taskbar at the middle of the bottom there and see if there's properties for that. I don't, like
there
I said.
There is a properties, but I've been there a number of times. Because it makes so much sense to go there.
Right. Then it wouldn't be there.
No, of course not.
You're right. But I would look through the personalize section because there's a section for changing, for picking your own sets of colors for each of the elements of Windows, the text, the scroll bars, the everything. And it's just a matter of finding the right ones and making that change.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
And then when you get it the way you want it, write down what you did so when you buy your next machine, you can do it again.
Yeah. Well, hopefully my... hard drive won't go on any more walkabouts.
Well, I'm sorry it did, but
it will.
You know,
we can guarantee
SSD?
It will.
Plan
fail.
On it.
Yeah.
How old is your SSD?
Well, it was only 2 years old. It had a 3-year warranty, I was sort of hoping we couldn't get it fixed so I could exercise the warranty, but
right.
we were, so I said, oh, well.
Yeah. You know? But you need to be aware that SSD cards have a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah.
And they will go sooner than regular hard drives, particularly the older ones, a couple of years old like yours is.
Yeah, I've never had one go that fast, but...
Yeah, but they do, and well, it's the well, same that's why thing we talk about with hard drives. There's infant mortality rate. Yeah.
There's a mean time between right. failure. So yours died in a year, so someone else's can last 10 years.
Yeah, right. It's all over the world. You know, all over the map.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to go through this again. It's.
No, I get that. Believe me.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. How's the website coming, Nick?
The Soundbites website is up, so you can go there and have as much fun as you want. The Ask Nick website is being worked on in the background.
Gotcha.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to take a somewhat longer break. Our first hour is over, but we have another whole hour of this nonsense, if I can stay awake for it. So we are going to take a short break, and then we'll come back with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. And for no discernible reason, you continue to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. You can call us, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back on the other side of this stuff with a whole lot more of Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and you can call us at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Like I was saying off-air, we should remind folks what next Sunday is.
Next Sunday? Is Father's Day.
Actually, that's one we don't need to remind because our spouses remember things like that. It's the guys that forget right. important dates.
Well, not all our listeners.
Traditionally,
equal opportunists.
Yeah.
Right, and it's nice to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
Father's Day and my birthday are my two favorite holidays because there's no pressure on me.
Yeah.
I don't have to buy anything, get anything, do anything. Don't know nothing for me. All I just have to do is enjoy. So it works for me.
Yeah, and going back to what I was just starting to talk about, you know, and the other thing, though, the reason I bring it up, Father's Day, is a lot of our servicemen are overseas right
now. Yes, they are.
And, you know, take the time, if you can now, put it on your calendar, you know, whether you're texting or, you know, whatever. Get a letter out to them. Because it's always these times of day, you know, year. I know from my nephew, who's over in Afghanistan now for his fourth tour. It's been kind of rough over there. They appreciate that.
Yes, they do.
You know, and I mean, yeah, we're here, we're safe. But, you know, those others that are taking the time, they'd rather be home with their families.
You think?
I mean, my nephew would rather be home with his daughter and that, instead of putting his life out there. And so we got to take a little extra time to remember, yeah, it's Father's Day, but also for those servicemen overseas.
Yep, absolutely. 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 Keep them in your prayers. Keep them in your thoughts.
I'm going to have to tell this to my son. We were talking about Fan Expo in Canada. The entire cast of My Little Pony is going to be there.
Well, three of them?
Apparently.
Wow.
And there's a sub-genre called bronies. Bronies. And
yeah.
My son's a brony, and he's going to be running through the door in a minute to yell at me.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming running to the monitor yet.
Yeah. You're assuming he's actually listening.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I turned the monitor up out there so he could hear us.
Still.
Yeah.
He's got selective hearing. He's at that age.
Yeah. Yep. What'd you say?
Exactly.
No, I didn't hear that.
Go do something. Go do this. Clean your room. Whatever, whatever.
Huh?
Hey, let's have lasagna. lasagna.
Yeah.
That's how it works. All right, listen, a U.S. trade agency on Tuesday banned the sale of several iPhone and iPad models for infringing a Samsung patent, dealing a high-profile setback to Apple's crusade against copycats. If upheld, the ruling would show that at least some of Apple's iconic technology duplicated that of its primary competitor in the mobile device market, an embarrassment for a company that has held itself up as the source of Silicon Valley's most groundbreaking innovations. Samsung, once a bit player in the cell phone market, now sells more smartphones than Apple around the world. The order by the U.S. International Trade Commission would block sales of several older devices that work on AT&T's wireless network, including the iPhone 4, the iPhone 3GS, and the iPad 2 3G. Apple's newest offerings, the iPad 5 and the fourth generation iPad, were not affected. Unless President Obama issues a veto, the ruling will take effect in 60 days. Apple said it will appeal the decision to federal courts. Apple and Samsung have been engaged in myriad cases making their way through the courts around the world. The legal battles were initiated by Apple, which has been determined to prove that Samsung and others copied the iPhone earlier than the iPhone actually existed, from the curved shape of the casing to the way contact lists were displayed. Last year, Apple won a lawsuit in a federal court that ruled Samsung had infringed several Apple patents. Separately, Apple and Samsung filed dueling lawsuits in 2011 with the ITC, which has become the preferred venue for patent disputes among companies because the body can rule quickly and has the authority to ban imports or sales. The decision comes at a bad time for Apple, whose stock has taken a hit in recent months. Some analysts have said the company has lost its innovative edge to Samsung, Google, and other rivals. So, has Apple stopped being the innovative company they used to be? Give us a call. Let us know. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Well, the problem is they just haven't come out with any new product. It's all, you know, even the iPad Mini, it's still an iPad. It's, yeah, it's so it's a smaller version. There hasn't been that real new, ooh, gotta have it product.
Yep.
It's always just been upgrades. And the same with the PC world.
Well, and this is why so many people have been angered or upset or whatever word you want to use at Tim Cook in particular and Apple in general. It used to be every year at the Worldwide Developer Conference, we all waited, whether you were an Apple fan or not,
mm-hmm.
you waited with bated breath for the newest, coolest thing on the face of the earth.
That you would be standing in line, got to have, can't live without.
Yep. And nowadays, for the last few years, it's been, well, here's the same product, only it's a little faster. Or yeah. it's yeah. black now instead of white. Or, you know, or I don't care.
Add this one other feature. Just one other feature. It's not like, oh, no, this is a whole new shape, design.
Well, and people are also saying that because of, for example, if you look at the Apple commercials
mm-hmm.
for the iPad,
mm-hmm.
it's not about the iPad. It's about the apps. It's about the things True. You can do on the iPad. It's nothing to do with the iPad at all. They could replace that with an Android tablet. They could replace that with anything running anything, as long as it could run those apps. It's like Apple is saying, it's not about us anymore. And that's disturbing to a lot of people who are big Apple fans.
And Apple always points out the billions of dollars they've paid to developers, especially at the developer conference, to draw in more developers. You set your price, we just take a 30% marketing fee, which is actually a heck of a lot less than it used to be. You know, if you try to sell in retail, you know, the developer's lucky to get 4 or 5% of the retail price.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and so Apple taking 30% and doing the distribution for you and you can sit back and make your money. The problem is there's almost too many apps now. There's a million apps in the Apple Store. Oh. Android is catching up.
They're getting saturated.
I think Android hit their million too.
Yeah, but there's one or two huge companies that make a fortune. You know, like Rovio with the Angry Birds franchise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For every one Rovio, there's, you know, 100,000 you know, smaller developers that you never hear about. And what was it, Zynga, that was so huge forever? Who'd they get bought by? OMG Pop.
Yeah, OMG Pop.
And they just laid off like 500 people and are shutting that division down.
Well, now they're advertising for that game Candy Crunch. It's addictive.
And there's an Angry Birds movie supposedly yeah. in the work. Grumpy Cat got a movie deal.
Wait a minute.
Is that unbelievable or what?
Wait. Grumpy Cat? I missed that one.
The Grumpy Cat meme.
Oh, the Grumpy Cat. Yeah. There's this. It's a picture of a cat. It's this guy. This guy owns a cat that the way the fur markings are, it looks like it's.
Oh, really?
Grumpy. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
That's the whole thing. It looks like it's grumpy. And they're going to make a movie. Look, if they can make a movie out of Battleship, they can make a movie. Nobody said it was going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Nobody said it was going to be a movie that made money.
Garfield was popular, so why not Grumpy Cat, you know?
That Battleship, the recent one you're talking about? Yeah, that did stink.
It did stink. I have to admit.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun.
I want to see 12 guys go aboard the a retired battleship with no fuel and no weapons and get it up and running in 20 minutes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Good luck with that one.
Don't battleships have a crew of 1,000?
Yeah. And now the new one that's coming out, Pacific Rim.
Kaiju.
Yeah, it's essentially just kaiju, and that's all it is. And okay, whatever. But at least that comes out of...
We're being attacked by giant monsters. We need to make a giant monster. Yeah.
That comes out of a Japanese tradition that at least there are stories there somewhere.
What was that last... One of the last Godzilla movies, they had a whole bunch of Caucasian guys running and screaming because of all the Japanese Godzilla movies. Would they have all the Japanese guys running and screaming?
Well, the one they made in 1999 with...
Matthew Broderick,
Matthew Broderick. So, yeah, that was... And he actually he took over New York, Gojira.
Yeah.
They actually made fun of that in Japan. They call him Gojira. And we call him Godzilla because we're idiots. And they actually make fun of that. Harry Shearer calls him Godzilla, and what's her name in the background is going, "It's Gojira," which is actually was actually kind of funny, a nice in joke.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we're Americans. We don't pronounce anything right.
We don't pronounce anything right. We're Americans. We don't learn foreign languages. We just shout louder until you get it.
Well, I was listening to one radio station this week, and they were talking about how just at the Mississippi. You take certain words, and it's pronounced one way east of the Mississippi and totally different on the west side.
Well, even soda or pop, depending on where you're from, or some places it's soda pop.
Somebody just put out 22 maps of the way different things are pronounced differently in different countries. It was quite an amazing thing for somebody who had aspirations at one time of being a linguist. I was fascinated.
Well, then there's the fake American accent that the national newscasters use that doesn't, it's kind of a middle blur that anyone can understand from the deep south to the far north. I sometimes get upset about people who say, they call tech support and got, somebody in another country they couldn't understand. I call tech support in Texas and can hardly understand them folk down there.
You all?
Yeah, y'all and the Cajuns.
You all talk fun.
That was actually one of the charts. People who say, you guys, you all, y'all, all y'all.
All y'all, yeah.
And
you all come back here.
Yeah, right.
Well, that my brother ran into that. He moved to North Carolina ages ago, and one of the words, I can't remember the name now, is y'all come stay. And that means it's time to go now, but you can come back later on when you can stay longer. But from the north, hearing y'all come stay, they stayed longer.
Yeah, really.
They thought it meant stay longer now.
Yeah.
I actually had somebody in the South once tell me it's very simple. And, of course, this was completely regional. It may have been that region. May have only been 3 feet around that person. But she said, it's very simple. Y'all is singular. You all is plural. And all y'all is a bunch of you all. Bunch of y'all. Bunch of you all. Yeah. I said, okay. All right, then.
That's clear as mud.
Exactly. All right, our next caller is Rich from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's up?
Hi, guys. Just a question for Steve on the iPhone and using the iCloud. Girlfriend got a new phone. We've synced the contacts between the computer and the iCloud and everything like that, but it doesn't seem like when she puts something in the contacts on the phone, that it shows up on the computer.
That can be a little tricky because you can have contacts on the device alone and contacts on the cloud. So if you go into the contact program, I don't think I can see this on my computer at the moment.
Yeah, would be on an iPhone 5.
Yeah, if you go into the contacts program on the iPhone, in the top left corner, there's usually a button that says like all contacts. And if you tap that, you can see contacts on the phone that can sometimes be separate from contacts on the cloud. So if she adds a new contact on the phone, it's not on the cloud, therefore it doesn't go to the computer. And then the same thing happens on the computer. You can create contacts on the computer and contacts on the cloud separately.
Okay. So looking for that type of setting is probably would solve the problem.
Right. And one of the ways to fix that, because you actually want to merge the cloud contacts with the device contacts typically, is if you turn off cloud syncing on each device, then it's going to say something like, do you want to save your contacts? And you say yes. And then you turn it back on, and it merges all the contacts on your device to the cloud, and then they're always on the cloud. We see this happen sometimes when devices are set up initially, and then later on the cloud is added, so you have two separate sections. You have contacts on the cloud and contacts on the device.
Okay. I can see where that would be a problem or you know, the way to fix it or whatever.
Yeah, and then it can get added complications if you have Google contacts or Yahoo contacts, because then they get synced through those other services. And so it depends on which contact group you add a new contact to as to where it gets synced from. So
well,
typically what people
do... this is staying with the one that's on the cloud or, you know...
Yeah.
He accesses it through a PC on the cloud.
Right, and that will sync with Windows Address Book.
With the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What people usually do is pick one service and sync all their contacts through that instead of trying to sync them through all the different services, which can be done. It's just a lot more work.
Sure. One other quick question. Is there a way to sync music over the air or through the iCloud, however... she has music on the PC or on iTunes on the PC. How do they get synced with the phone?
Music that you purchase from the iTunes store is automatically synced through iCloud, and you can just download it again on the phone. Music you have on your computer, if you plug the iPhone into the computer over USB, one of the options is to enable Wi-Fi syncing. And then it will sync over Wi-Fi without needing to be plugged in.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Nick, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We're Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
I have too much fun at this board.
You clearly do. As part of a shift to lower repair costs, Apple has... Easy for me to say.
Sure, new
Apple
mouth.
Has begun replacing iPhone 5 screens at its retail locations. The new display replacement service is priced at $149 and can be purchased with or without AppleCare Plus. Changes to Apple's repair policies first surfaced last month, where a town hall session revealed that Apple would begin in-house repairs of displays in June in an effort to save approximately $1 billion a year. We're seeing that B word a lot. Mac rumors heard from a tipster this morning that the new repair actually... Yeah, that the new repair policy had been implemented and the changes had since been confirmed in a forum post from iPhone repair site Quick iFix. The repairs are available for cracked displays as well as screens that experience multi-touch issues. Quick iFix notes that Apple's $149 repair cost is competitive, causing the site to change its own repair costs. Quick iFix charged $179.99 for a display replacement in early May, but has begun offering repairs for $139.95. Apple's new display repairs are in line with AppleCare Plus pricing, which costs $99 up front and then $49 for each replacement. The repair service is a more affordable alternative for iPhone users who opted not to purchase AppleCare Plus, as iPhone replacement previously cost $229. Of course, now there's no advantage to AppleCare Plus on the first phone screen repair. Apple is expected to roll out additional in-house repair options in July, offering repairs of the iPhone's camera, sleep-wake buttons, and logic boards. Additional changes to AppleCare are also reportedly in the works, with Apple rumored to be switching to a subscription-based plan tied to customers rather than individual devices. So you get a subscription for yourself as a customer, not for the devices you buy, which theoretically will save you money. I doubt that's true. Apple's not in the business of saving you money. Anyway, would you take advantage of a display replacement for your iPhone 5 for $150? Give us a call, 585-966-CHAZ.
I think that's just the glass. It's not the LCD.
It's just the glass.
Yeah. Right. We were talking about that just a few weeks ago, how there's so many businesses springing out.
Yep.
Ads all over the places. People are doing this as a side business, replacing the glass. And it's almost like, now they want to get on the bandwagon too? And I think some of those other places.
Okay, this is weird. I went to that Quick iFix website, and on their website is an ad for another company that I've actually bought parts from. So one repair company is
doing the
bought an ad, and that ad happens to be for another repair company.
Well, but is that like a Google ad, and it just happened to show up? I mean, if you
refresh,
it is.
Yeah, it could be. Yep, it's a Google ad.
Yeah, there you go. That's why.
So this one company bought a Google ad, and the other company displayed a Google ad.
Well, right, and it just happens to be because they keep talking about phone repair.
Yeah,
it's an iPhone repair.
So your first repair is $150 because it's $100. But if you bought the AppleCare Plus, it's $100 for AppleCare Plus and $50 for a repair. The AppleCare Plus gives you 2 incidents in 2 years, so your second repair is $50. So that becomes cheaper.
Well, we've seen
people break their glass 3 or 4 times.
Well, we were at the Soho show. The booth right across the way from us was doing that. They had a big ad up on there. They do jewelry repair and all that other stuff. And they had a sign up. Yeah, if your screen is broken, bring it to us. We can do it. And I think it was for like only $80.
Yeah.
We've seen several jewelry companies moving into smartphones because they're used to working in little tiny devices with little tiny screws.
Well, that's the whole thing. To take those apart, the whole toolkit that we have for popping those things apart are small tools.
And a lot of the iPhones and even the Macs now are glued together. The LCD and the glass are glued into one piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a screen replacement has been like $200 because it's the LCD and the glass. Or when you're trying to peel the glass, the broken glass, off the LCD, you'll probably pierce the LCD and have to replace that too. So it's you have to unglue it and then glue it all back together again.
Right.
So there was a picture on the net of some giant machine that Apple uses to do this repair with.
When Apple says they're repairing them now, I don't think they mean in every store. I think they just gather them up, shoot them off.
No, that's the way it used to be. If you walked into an Apple corporate store with a broken phone, almost all the time they would just give you another one right then.
That works for me.
And so that made the customer happy because they got it faster. Then that phone went back into the repair chain. Whatever was wrong with it got fixed, and then it became the next unit that got passed out for a broken one.
Right, right.
So Apple has decided that that's too expensive. And so now they're actually going to be repairing the phones in store. The danger of
that's
that,
interesting,
and what we've already been hearing from people, that if you want to get an appointment at the Apple store, it sometimes takes a week to get in. And then now you're going to be without your phone for 3 or 4 days or longer while they're repairing it. So from a customer standpoint, it's much better. You walk in, they give you one, and you walk out.
Right.
From a company standpoint, it's cheaper to fix them and give it back.
Well, and then you have to worry about what's the quality of the repair and how good is the person at this particular store. And
question, talking about screens, I had a discussion with somebody. And on your laptops, if you put your finger up and touch the screen, okay, they're saying, no, that can destroy the screen.
If you push hard enough, you'll pierce the crystals.
Right, but just touching it like folks do day to day, you know, they'll put their finger on, this
depends on how ham-fisted you touch it with.
Right.
Now, if you got a friend like mine that
goes,
boom.
If you touch it with your fist, you probably have a problem to begin with.
But normal
or
touching.
A pointy screwed pen.
Yeah, but normal finger touching, just pointing to it.
Yeah.
Well, I says, no, in all the years that I've been working with screens, I've touched them. I leave fingerprints.
You push hard enough. If you push hard enough, you'll start seeing the crystals deform, and if you keep pushing, you'll actually pierce
it. Yeah, you got to really push hard, but normal, I've never destroyed a screen, and they go, oh, no, over time, they could do that. No. I've never had that happen.
Well, a lot of laptops now have a glass panel on front of the LCD,
and the Gorilla, well, the Gorilla Glass is so much stronger, and they've been using Gorilla Glass for so long.
A Corning product.
Yeah, that, you know, you gotta about break the glass before you get into the other. Yes, yep. You will see, like Steve was saying, when you press it, you will see the discolor, you know.
That rainbow effect kind of thing.
It's like taking a magnet to a television, a CRT television.
But you really got to push
super hard. Not that we recommend doing that.
Yeah.
Right. But you'd
you can find an LCD television or a magnet these days.
Oh, I remember I had a client that the kid put taped the little magnet letters onto the screen of Dan's monitor.
Yep. Or you had a,
and it story said, about the, hi, Dan. And it was and it stayed, burnt right in the screen.
And you had a story years ago about a customer that their discs kept failing and couldn't figure out why. And so you went to the house. And when they were done using it, they pulled it out of the floppy drive and magnetically hooked it to the file cabinet so they knew where it was.
Yep. My favorite story, though, is the guy who bought a $400 business package from us. Got it home. The disc didn't work. Brought it back. We replaced it. Got it home. The disc didn't work. We ordered a third copy and tested it at our store. Got it home. The disc didn't work. I went out with him on his fourth replacement I said, I'm going to ride home with you and see what's going on. So we get in the car and he takes this box of discs and he puts them between the seats. And he starts off, and I looked down, and I said, what the hell is that? He said, that's my car phone. Ah. Not cell phone, car phone.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
And I immediately grabbed the discs just before the phone rang.
Ouch.
And it had a regular bell, the old-fashioned bell.
A giant electromagnet.
Oh, yes.
Giant electromagnet going on and off a dozen times a second.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's exactly what they use to erase discs.
Yeah.
I said, you were about to erase them again.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our friend Scott from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's up?
Well, I called to talk about Second Life.
Yes.
I'm not going to be there.
Second Life, for those who don't know, it's called itself the world's largest virtual reality. This year, from June 16 to June 29... Second Life celebrates its 10th birthday. There will be over 500 exhibits, many live concerts, lectures, and dance parties. The event is open 24 hours. The live events happen mostly between noon Eastern Standard Time and midnight Pacific Time. I personally have a display there consisting of things from my amusement park. A tilt-a-world, a shooting gallery, an infinite marble run, a rocket, and the ability to fly high, following it and parachute down.
If you have not been to
free food and a slideshow, with two favorite places of Raleigh. There, these were the Sims of Abracadabra and XYZ, constructed by the Magicians Group.
Nice. I'll tell you, if you have not been.
Pardon?
I was about to say, if you've not been to Scott's area in Second Life, you've missed the visually and artistically and the ability, him and Newt, their areas are just astonishing in what they've built there. Amazing stuff. And it's also where we do the sound bites in Second Life every Sunday night. I apologize for last week. We were out with family, and suddenly I looked at the clock, and it was 9:30, and I thought, I think I've missed it.
Oops.
And I won't make it, probably not tomorrow night. Shirley and I are out of town, and I don't know if the hotel
has
Wi-Fi
yet. I will definitely be there.
That's June 16 to June 29.
Thank you. Perfect. And I'll tell you what, it's so much fun. To be in Second Life and to go to some of these events. A lot of the music people are there, and their music is lovely. You can just sit and listen. A lot of the art exhibits are astonishing. The interactive exhibits, like the one Scott's created, are just so much fun, so inventive. So
The building alone, the talent.
Stuff. Yeah, amazing stuff.
In fact, I mean, I think most exhibits consist of everything created by the people exhibiting.
Yeah.
So, and, yep. you can go to London at this exhibition, or Paris. There's a representation of Paris or London. There are interesting boats there, all kinds of things, trains and stuff like that, all at this exhibition.
And a lot of the science fiction worlds that have been recreated. There's a Babylon 5, a Star Trek, there's a Firefly, isn't it?
Firefly, yep. Is there. Torchwood,
yep.
Is there. Somebody,
I spent time in Doctor Who's TARDIS yesterday.
Yep, and someone has also recreated years ago, I don't know if it's still up, recreated Dante's entire Inferno.
Wow.
And what are those dates again?
The dates are June 16 to June 29.
That's this coming Sunday to the following.
Yep. Right, a little bit further.
Yeah,
I'm on the page. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the main event. Main
this Sunday is Father's Day, yeah. 16th.
The main events are being held on June 23rd, but there are events all over, people hosting their own stuff all through that.
And all you need is a network connection and the client, and you can create an avatar and join right in and enjoy the fun. It's a very cool thing. And, of course, we're in Second Life every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Answering computer questions there as well. When you get there, I am Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L, Infinity. So if you want to join us, send me an instant message, and I will teleport you to the place.
Even the thought of being teleported there sounds great.
Exactly.
True. All right, thank you. That's all.
Thanks, bye. Scott. Appreciate it. Yeah, I really, I kind of enjoy, I don't get there nearly as often as I'd like to, but there's a lot of amazing stuff going on in there.
Unbelievable.
The artists.
The talent and the people, yeah, just the builders.
Yeah. The artists in musical and visual media in particular, in oral and video media, have done amazing things. The amount of imagination that goes into those things.
Well, the live concerts that they do, too. There are actually some real live concerts where they put it on. The bands are actually playing.
Yep. Yep. Pretty amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a fairly decent network connection and a fairly decent graphics,
yeah,
card.
Graphics is a biggie on that.
And the client. And you're on your way. You can see that stuff at secondlife.com and join in the fun. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. We're there every, like I said, Sunday night answering people's computer questions. It's a sort of sound bites in Second Life, and we spend an hour from 9 to 10 chit-chatting away. Bon Vibra and Newt are there, and we have a good time, and their area is astonishing in what's available there, so give it a look. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I want to apologize.
I forgot to point the camera at him.
Oh, yeah. I want to apologize to everybody. We seem to have had a glitch in the web, and there was a glitch in the Ustream, and we've lost the Hangout. It does not seem interested in coming back. So, but we're still here on the air, and that's what counts. And we have Virginia from Pittsburgh on the line. Welcome, Virginia. What's up?
Well, good afternoon. I just got off the phone with Luigi from Avast.
Sure.
I was not able to. I got Avast in April on your recommendation, and I have not been able to update it. And when I called him and said I wasn't able to update it, I turned my computer over to him, and he worked on it, and he said he found lots of things wrong with it. And he said that they could fix it for $169, and I said, my XP is not worth that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, let me check. And he came back, and he offered $119. But what disturbs me, he said that there are some viruses on there, and he said that I should not do any banking or purchasing with this laptop because...
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, if you've got a virus on that machine, you really don't want to do any of that
stuff. I wonder if it's virus versus 10-to-1 odds spyware or malware.
Right, a lot of times...
It doesn't matter what you call
it. It's still...
Yeah, you can get hit by a malicious program that prevents your antivirus from updating.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want you to update and stop that thing from going.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, you said you called Avast. Did you get the phone number off their website?
I realized it. I was going to call another one, and when I looked at the end of it, it really wasn't Avast. So I did talk to the fellow from Avast.
Because there's a lot of those fake companies that call you and say, you're infected, and for $100 we can fix it. Then they steal your credit card information and get into your computer and who knows what else.
Well, it was Avast.com, though.
Right, yeah. So you make sure you get the right phone number, 866-951.
He said all our other computers will be affected by it.
They can be. Yeah. A lot of viruses and malicious software will run through your network into your other computers as well.
Right. It can spread.
Okay.
Depending. I mean, that's such a broad brush that he's painting there. And again, he's driven by, if he can get you to say yes to this, then there's the potential that he could also be working on this machine and the other machine, which, for him, bottom line, is going to be some extra bucks in their pocket, and that's what they're driven for.
Well, listen, Virginia, one thing you can do to get more peace of mind is to go to securitytango.com. Now,
I've tried to do that, and I'm glad you brought that up. If I do that, how can I get back my, I have to turn off my virus protector and my malware bytes and all those things. How do I get them back then after I've turned them off?
Well, you need to download the latest versions. I don't anywhere tell you to remove things. But I do tell you to turn a couple of things off and then turn them back on again.
But if I turn them off, aren't I taking them off? How do I turn them off?
There are two different things you can do. One is to just stop them from running. They're still installed, just not active.
I don't know how to do that, though.
I think the Security Tango tells you that. Hold on.
Usually in the program itself, there's a pause or a stop scanning.
Oh, okay. I never went that far.
Yeah, without actually uninstalling it. You just want to stop it from running temporarily.
All right. I think I can probably do that then. Because I've printed it out, and when I read it, I thought, well, I'm not going to go that far because I'm not going to uninstall them because I don't know how to redo it.
Right. But we're not telling you to uninstall. We're telling you only to turn them off.
Okay.
And in fact, you don't even have to do that for most of them.
Okay.
Absolutely. You want to do that. Make sure you do your Windows update, all that other stuff. Now, full disclosure, I run the Security Tango website.
I know.
But full disclosure, all of the stuff on there has free versions. And I'm not charging you a penny to go to that site.
Okay. And the other programs like Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes and Rkill and the other programs on there, they will sometimes catch, no one program can catch everything. So other programs will catch some things that may then let your Avast start working again because something might be in there preventing Avast from working.
Right.
Okay.
And if that stuff all doesn't work, I mean, it might be that we've said this before, you got to take it into a repair shop where we physically pull the hard drive out of the machine because some of them are built into the boot record.
You can't fix the computer when you're running on that computer.
Yeah, they're called a root kit.
Oh.
And what happens is we have to pull the hard drive out, put it on our test bench, and then remove the rootkit, and then we can get at the rest of the viruses.
But that does become an issue with older computers, is the cost of repairing your computer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sort of the bottom line things you can do is if you have your files backed up or there's nothing on the computer you need, you can erase it and start over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But most people have files they need and not backed up.
Yeah, and you need to back them off to a flash drive or an external hard drive, or a free thing is just to the cloud.
Yeah, use one of the free services like Dropbox or Google Drive or SkyDrive, and then you can...
Wait, you lost me. I don't...
There are
other services.
Right, there are services called cloud storage.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, Google Drive and Microsoft SkyDrive and Dropbox are three very popular services, and they give you free space on the internet that you can put your most important files. You can't back up all your files for free, but your most important ones you can.
Pictures and maybe letters that you really
need. I don't have anything like that.
Well, now Flickr gives you 1 terabyte of space to put your pictures, so you can back up all your pictures for free.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have any of those on this one.
Right, but that's the deal. If you can find a place to store your stuff, but that's often important when you're going to be doing something like dancing the security tango, particularly if you know there are viruses. It can be dangerous because some viruses get their hooks deeply into the operating system, and removing them can cause damage.
Oh. Now, if I do the security tango, won't that remove those?
Theoretically, there are a few that it cannot remove.
Right, rootkits.
Right, and they're called rootkits, and they actually run before the operating system loads so they can protect themselves from the operating system. To fix those, you need to take your machine to a reputable dealer and let them deal with it.
Is an XP worth it, though? That's the problem.
Well, that's a very good question.
Yeah. And it depends on also
how much do you use.
Yeah, how much do you use it? And,
we get that question a lot in our repair shop.
Yeah.
Is it worth $200 or $300 sometimes to replace a broken thing in an old computer, or take that $200 or $300 and put it toward a new computer?
Yeah.
Double-edged sword.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. I'll try the security tangle and see how that goes.
Perfect. Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and for everyone else, be wary of getting a cold call, a random phone call. Hi, this is Microsoft Security.
Yeah.
We've determined you have a virus. Let us into your computer.
Right.
And some of the cold calls like that are also now targeting Mac users. I've got a friend of mine who's actually been called twice that, my Mac, this is Apple Security, and we've determined your Mac has a problem. And
right.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I do want to
because I clean it for her, yeah.
I do want to take this opportunity to publicly thank the people who've donated to Soundbite Security Tango. You can do that on the website, and some people have done that, and I appreciate it because it lets me keep the site running, and that's a nice thing.
Now, here's something a little freaky. I was looking at Second Life in another window, and now I get a Second Life ad on Security Tango.
Google knew.
That may be why I got that ad for the one repair company in the other repair company's website, because I went to both those websites, and Google knew. Actually, I don't think I'm logged into my Google Plus account, but it still knows.
Well, it knows through IP addresses and...
Yeah, I was going to say, probably in the background, there's probably a TSR.
Every machine has its own signature.
Yep.
Based on a bunch of stuff that is available just with the right calls.
And since Google owns DoubleClick, one of the biggest ad companies, it doesn't matter if you're logged into your account or not, because it's the same ad company. So that ad company knew I went to this website. Oh, well, let me show you an ad for that website.
Right.
But I am logged into Google Plus. See, that's one thing I really am annoyed by Google Plus. It doesn't log you out. You have to manually log yourself out.
Right. But Apple doesn't log you out of, or Google doesn't log you out of anything anymore.
Yep.
Which is both good and bad, I guess. Mm-hmm. There are people who live their lives in Google Plus, and so consequently they're always there. Again, I apologize for the abrupt ending to the hangout. We just had a glitch here in the internet, and there you are. What are you going to do at that point? I don't know what to tell you. What are you going to do? All right, look, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank, and I apologize to those who called in to whom we did not get. You need to call earlier and more often next time. Chicago-style calling. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You spent 2 hours of your life listening to us blurble on the air, and we appreciate that very much. The good news is you'll get to do it again next week, all over again. In the meantime, Linda Wildman has come in, and with her will be George. She will be keeping him in line while he plays the best German music you'll hear all week. And you can join us here next week for the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites, and we are right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.